This is the Adam Gold Show.
And it's a long weekend. It's a Saturday, Sunday, Monday wraparound weekend because we have wild card Monday night with the Rams and Cardinals, putting an exclamation point on wild card weekend where we have six games because we have the expanded playoffs. We also will talk with our friend Brendan Woodard from the League Pass Lair about the NBA and is it possible that the Brooklyn Nets could actually be the team that we all thought they might be if they got all their guys? I mean, it's very, very possible. Also, the Hornets have won four in a row. And not only have they won four in a row, mm-hmm. the Hornets have beaten the Bucks twice.
Yeah.
And yesterday beat the Philadelphia 76ers for the first time in three presidential administrations.
It's a long time.
Last time they beat the Sixers, Barack Obama was in office.
Wow.
Just saying.
All right.
I don't know if you can call that. It is the longest stretch of, we'll just call it futility, between one team and another in the NBA. Well, that stretch is now over. It was a 16-game losing streak between the two teams.
The Charlotte Hornets!
There you go. They were, they've been good. And they haven't even been getting, like, crazy dominant performances out of LaMelo Ball. It's been a lot of other players. Last night, it was Gordon Hayward. The other night, it was, like, Terry Rozier. Miles Bridges have been very good. So they've got, they've been getting really, really good performances throughout the lineup. So good for them. And they're in, I think they're in seventh place in the Eastern Conference right now. It's pretty good. Seventh in the East. I mean, it still puts you in the play-in tournament, but, you know, you have a chance. I mean, six playoff spots plus those four in the play-in tournament, just get in.
They're one game back of Cleveland for sixth
spot. Yeah, and that's definitely an attainable goal. All right, a bunch of things, but before we get there, Dennis, yesterday I made the mistake.
Oh, mistake.
Of thinking that, yeah, I know, it's rare. I made the mistake of thinking that Wordle was an app.
Yeah, it's definitely not.
It's not an app.
Nope.
So it's just a website.
Yeah, I sent it to you.
You did. You sent it to me, so I...
Looking out for you.
I clicked on it, and now I'm in, and I'm two for two.
There you go.
Both, by the way, very, very hard.
Today's was actually really difficult.
Today's was difficult.
I forget yesterday's word off the top of my head now.
Favor?
Yes, it was favor yesterday.
Favor was
right.
Yesterday. I won't say today's.
No,
because some people haven't done it yet.
Spoiler-free show.
But I am two for two now that I've figured out that Wordle is not an app. It is, in fact, just a website.
Make sure that app didn't infect your phone or something.
That's very possible. Mm. Maybe that's why I can't find it anymore.
There you go.
How do I know? Well, never mind. I'll ask other people who understand these things. We're on TV. I'll wave to the camera. That's the camera right there, right? Or am I waving to that camera? That camera. It's a one shot. Whatever that means. We're on TV. If you have an Apple TV, a Fire TV, a Roku TV, Android TV, the WRAL app for those systems, you can get us. It's WRAL Sports Plus. Over the air, if you are in the listening area or the broadcast area for WRAL TV5, 34.1. But you could also watch us at WRALSportsFan.com or the WRAL Sports Fan app. That is all good. And now let's get this thing underway. By the way, Matt Rhule was on the radio this morning in Charlotte with our friends down at WFNZ and the Mac Attack. Actually, I think he's doing might be doing all the Charlotte radio shows today.
Yeah, I think he's already been on two.
But we're gonna play some of the greatest hits of that a little bit later on. He talked about quarterback, talked about offensive line. All of that. He's not ruling out Cam Newton as a quarterback, but we got to stop with that. But we'll get to more of that a little bit later on. Let's talk hoops, shall we? NC State. I said they would cover. Wasn't sure they'd win, but I said they would cover. They did more than cover. What, they win by 16 at Louisville? That was an outstanding performance on both ends of the court by the Wolfpack. And they won the game without a monster night from Darian Sebron. He was good. He was really more of a facilitator more than he was a dominant offensive presence. 15-7-5 overall. Not the kind of a night. I mean, if I told you going into the game, Darian Sebron, who has basically been Mr. Double-Double and dominating games, that he would go for 15-7-5, you probably would have said, well, State probably lost by 10. But they won by double figures because Terquavion Smith, 24 points, 6 of 9 shooting for three-point range. Jericho Helms, 19 points, 5 of 7 on 3. State was 12 of 25 from deep. Those two guys, 11 of 16. Keats on the other guys.
Good win for us, good road win. Proud of my guys. We completely fought. I thought our young guys were tremendous, and actually those guys were the guys who closed the game. Did a tremendous job. We're getting better. We're fighting. You know, it's one of those things where I think every day guys are starting to play a little bit better. Give a lot of credit to Ernest Ross. I thought he came in and completely changed the game around with his energy and played hard. Thomas Allen was good early. Cam came off the bench. Casey Marcel did a great job on the defensive end. But, you know, our big three played well. You know, Cole led us early on. Baby T was spectacular. And then, you know, DB was just steady all throughout the game. So, good road win. We want to continue to build on it. We beat a really good Louisville team on their home floor. So, give those guys credit. They'll bounce back. But I was excited about our play tonight.
Baby T, huh? I like Baby T.
I love it.
To me, the difference was that for the most part, now there were some bad stretches, but for the most part, I thought NC State's defense was really good. And that's how the runs happen. You get the combination of good defense making life difficult for Louisville. They're two leading scorers. Who was it? Malik Williams and Mason Faulkner combined for 8 points. I mean, you take those two guys out of the game, Louisville's okay, but they ain't Louisville that won a national championship a dozen years ago or 10 years ago. They're not that Louisville team. They're not the Louisville team with, you know, like a bunch of pros on it. It's a pretty good basketball team. Sidney Curry I don't think he was off the bench, but Sidney Curry had 22. He's a huge human being. My gosh, is he big. But it was about improved defense, and, man, uncharacteristically, State was a machine from three-point range. In general, those things don't last. If your good play is built on the three-point shot, whether you're a good three-point shooting team or not, those things generally go away, but for State, they kept it up enough. And then, you know, there were moments where Louisville was pecking away. They'd get the lead to 8 or so, and then State would just kind of push it back. And maybe it was 5 or 6, and State would just push it back. So they were really good defensively. And I keep saying this about the Wolfpack. I think they're good enough to beat anybody in the league. On any night, in any place, I think they're good enough. The problem with them is that they seem to lack the ability to repeat those performances, which is not that odd when it comes to college basketball and a team that doesn't have, you know, a huge amount of talent. And they got good players, right? Smith is a freshman, and he's for the most part been excellent. Cam Hayes has kind of had a struggle second year. Helms is a good, you know, he's a good third option, I think. I mean, he doesn't always provide big numbers, but he did last night, of course. Darian Sebron's their horse. He is their guy. But they, and without Manny Bates, it's going to be difficult. You're not getting any offense out of Dawana. And it was, when he's on the court, he's pretty good. But they lack the ability to repeat those performances that we saw last night. I will draw this analogy, Dennis Cox. It is similar to my golf swing. Hey, man, there are days where I get out there and I've just got the timing right,
yeah,
and I'm grooving it, and I don't hit 17 balls into people's backyards. And those are the days where I'm like, all right, man, I got this. And then the next time I go out, I cannot hit the ball in the air, and I can't keep the ball off of somebody's porch or a swimming pool or a playground. And that's when I think about bowling.
Yeah.
So, to me, that's the way State is. I think they can beat anybody at any time. So, somebody asked me on Twitter, what about Duke? That game's coming. Yeah. I think they can beat Duke. Do I think they will? Different story. Different question. But I think they can, and I'll never be surprised. When you've got a player like Helms, like Sebron, and you've got some complimentary pieces, I'll never be surprised if you win. Sebron is that good. All right, speaking of Duke, they did not lose to Wake. I thought they would lose to Wake. In the first half, Wake looked like they were in pretty good shape, playing, I thought, exceptionally well on the defensive end for the first, say, 15 or 16 minutes. It was sort of a rock fight there because I think Duke's defense was also pretty good. But then the Blue Devils hit the accelerator, and it was over. Paolo Banchero was basically the whole show for Duke early on. Wake led 29-27 with less than a minute in the half. They were at the free throw line, missed free throw. Then Wendell Moore Jr., whose numbers were modest, had a nice creative drive for a layup to tie the game. Wake Forest committed an, then there was a steal by Trevor Keels. He knocks down a three. There was an offensive foul and a A.J. Griffin three. And suddenly, Duke went from two down to six up, and it was over. Because they came out of the locker room, and it was like there was no break. Duke was on fire. I think they hit their first seven shots or something out of the break. Steve Forbes on that sequence right before the half.
Probably by the way we ended the first half, you know, called a timeout. I kept the timeout to run a play. Then we come out and commit a silly offensive foul, pushing off on a switch. And then we gave up a three, two threes. I mean, I think that probably disappoints me the most is the way we finished the half, because those are things that, you know, we do work on every day. You know, I thought our guys played hard and competed. I don't have any complaints in that area, but to me, you know, would be that. And then the turnovers in the second half, we knew we couldn't give up turnovers and offensive rebounds, and they scored 22 points off our turnovers. I think most of those probably all in the second half. They didn't get any second chance points, which we did an unbelievable job on the glass. But, you know, those turnovers were killers.
Here's the other killer. A.J. Griffin. Game changer for the Blue Devils. That is a, like, I'm not trying to put him in like J.J. Redick, Grayson Allen, three-point shooting territory. John Shire, right? I'm not trying to put him there. He is shooting at a high percentage, but he hasn't shot that many. So, you know, we'll find out over the course of the season what kind of three-point shooter he is. I will say this about him. He has a buttery soft jump shot. I mean, the ball just floats in the air. Some guys, the ball accelerates in a shot. Nah, man, that ball just floats. It's like a balloon. It is beautiful. And
I'm just dreaming of soft butter now.
Hey, look, you can get Challenge Butter. I recommend Challenge Butter. The element that he adds to their offense, because he's such a good perimeter shooter, enables, it just opens up so many things. And when you have Banchero, who was excellent again, and you've got Griffin, if he can stay healthy and be good enough defensively to stay on the court for 25 to 30 minutes, those two guys, plus Wendell Moore Jr., plus Trevor Keels, and then if they want to play small, you've got Jeremy Roach. If they want to play big, you've got Mark Williams. Duke can beat you in a number of ways, but it all hinges on Griffin continuing to be effective as an offensive player, and he was excellent last night. It really does change the game for the Blue Devils. It really, really does. Now, John Shire was the acting coach last night because Mike Krzyzewski, if you watch the game, you know this. Or maybe you listened to the show yesterday. We talked about it at the very end. It's not the first time John Shire has been the acting head coach. Last year, a home game against Boston College, Shire coached when Kay was down with an illness. So Coach Kay couldn't make it last night. John Shire stepped in.
I think there was a lot of motivation coming off that Miami game with things that we can do better. And, you know, we loved how our team played the right way, made each other better on the offensive end. And then defensively, we really battled, you know, against a Wake Forest offense who's, you know, one of the best teams, best offenses in the ACC and best teams as well. So proud of our guys, you know, specifically AJ Griffin, you know, what he's done, working his tail off all season long, never complained for one second, worked as hard, if not harder than anybody in our team. So to see it translate on the floor tonight is really special.
He was good. It's a big win for the Blue Devils coming off their loss at home to Miami. All right, guess what happens tonight, Dennis? For the fifth time in 26 days, the Carolina Hurricanes get to play a hockey game. Let's talk to the head coach about it, Rod Brind'Amour. Rod Brind'Amour, the Metropolitan Division All-Star Game coach. I know it's just a formula. I know you're not impressed or anything like that about anything, but isn't it cool?
that's not what I would word it or how I would word it, but I think, you know, what it is you just said it's a formula, which means we're doing something right,
right.
As a group. And, you know, so that's about, I guess, as far as I'll take it. I mean, it's, you know, we still have a long way to go here in the season, so it's kind of hard to say you're, whatever, 30 games in and we'll get some sort of recognition. Do you know what I mean?
No, I totally understand it, and your reaction to this was predictable for me, because all this stuff doesn't really matter to you. I understand the only thing that matters is what got you the assignment to coach the All-Star team. I don't know if you get to choose your team, but I'm going to guess that number 20 will be involved. But I want to ask you about this stretch here tonight. I guess I'm assuming that they'll play. You guys will play. We should never assume. But tonight will be just your fifth game in the last 26 days.
Yeah.
What? It's the worst. What has been the hardest part of all of this?
Well, it's getting the guys to keep in rhythm. You know, like, you can sit there and say, well, you got all this practice time. That's good, but it's not game-like, and you can't replicate it. And so when the rest of the league is going and you're not, you're losing ground, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to, you know, get back in a rhythm. And the only way to do that is to play games. Now, you don't want to play five games in seven nights, but you want to have some sort of consistency. And, you know, we get it. It's you know, what we're dealing with. But it's certainly not been ideal.
No, it has not been ideal. Has it, from your perspective, has it impacted parts of your game more than others?
Well, in the games for sure that we've come back, yeah, we've been just sluggish for me, not sharp. And that's I attribute that all to just the layoffs and then having these pauses. And just like I said, I don't think we've gotten up to a rhythm, you know. So, you know, not to make excuses because we got to go play the games and we're going to play hard. But I would expect that if we can get kind of, you know, no more of these postponements, that we'll be a better team in, you know, a couple of weeks than we will be here, that we are right now.
Has it impacted players differently? I know just for, you know, doing the research for the game, it's been a rough go for Martin Natchez. What have you seen from, like, one player versus another?
Yeah, you know, I think with just dealing with him, yeah, I'd like to see him play a little more consistently for sure. We know he's super talented. I mean, yeah, that's obvious, but you know, the game, 90% of the game is played without the puck. So you just, there's a whole bunch of things that you can be doing, you know, to keep your game sharp. And I think, you know, he's a guy that we can get a little more of for sure.
In this, in the four games you have played since the 18th of December, the one that everybody remembers the most is the New Year's Day game in Columbus, where down 4-0, it was just weird. But was that your best game since, you know, everything got kind of shut down?
It was our best game offensively, for sure. And then I would say the second half of the game was our best overall, because we really did kind of rein it back in.
Yep.
And shut it down. But even that game, we were sluggish to start and not in very good sync. And I just, again, I attribute that to just the layoffs. So we'll see. We're playing, obviously, that team again tonight.
Yep.
They've been a thorn to everybody, really. They play hard. So we just got to kind of make sure we get to that rhythm early and not get behind. I mean, you're not going to catch up like that too often.
Not only do they play hard, we talked about this the last time you played Columbus. They have a lot of talent on that team. One guy you will be without tonight, and my guess is probably on Saturday as well, Jacob Slavin, who went into COVID protocol. How do you go about replacing 24 minutes of 74?
Yeah, how do you think?
Right.
I mean, if there's a guy on our team that, you know, you wouldn't want to miss, you don't want to miss any of them, but he's probably at the top of the list, right? Like, he does everything for you. So that's a big loss, but, what do? You're just the next guy up, and, you know, Smitty will draw in the lineup, and he's been good for us when, been called on. So it's definitely not going to be one guy replacing him. This is a group effort at the back end for sure.
Speaking of the back end, he will not start tonight, but Jack LaFontaine, right, like a week ago, he was, going to class at the University of Minnesota, and now he's going to dress as a backup tonight for Freddie Anderson. Just your thoughts on that whirlwind.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big step, obviously, and, I think we've somewhat touched on it. I mean, it's why we had to do it, get him in now versus at the end of his year. We just ran out of goalies.
Right.
And so now you're trying to get a feel for where his game's at as a, we know he was good in college, but this is another step up. So at some point we got to slide him in, but here, what we've talked about this whole conversation, Freddie's got to get playing too.
Yeah.
So, we got to get him some games and get him up the rhythm, because that's the most important position. So it's nice that we were able to get Jack in here. We got some, depth at goaltending is just so vital. And at some point we'll get him a game in here or two, and then we can kind of assess from there.
Is Antti Raanta a longer term thing than you thought originally?
I think it's, I'd say in between. I think we were hoping that it would be like real quick. But we know it's not long term. He was out there today with Paul working, so I think we're it won't be as long as maybe we had feared.
Good luck tonight against Columbus. I will talk to you soon.
All right, Adam. Thank you.
Rob Brindamore, head coach, Carolina Hurricanes, Canes, and the Blue Jackets tonight.